Today, we present the first program in a new series on forest conservation featuring Bill Scott, Forest Ranger. In Beaver Dam Forest, an ever-freshening evening wind picks up some of last year's dry leaves and swirls them about, among the trees and across the dirt roads in the forest. The thin strands of telephone wires begin to swing, and at this moment, someone, somewhere along the line, reaches for the handle of an old-fashioned wall telephone, still in use in many rural areas, and cranks it hard. One long crank, three short ones. Bells ring out in every lookout and guard station, in every nearby farm home. In the one farm kitchen for which the special ring is intended, a white-haired little old lady answers her phone.
Hello? This is Sarah McDonald talking. Who? Who? Land sakes, I declare that wind is kicking up an awful fuss, isn't it? Hold on a minute, dearie. I'll just shut the window. Hello, this is me again, Sarah McDonald. Oh, it's you, Molly. Well, I think that's mighty nice you're calling to see how I am. Truth to tell, I don't feel well at all. It's my old trouble, Molly. Like I was telling Mr. McDonald just the other night it was. I don't know what we'll do if I come down real bad and...
Hello? Hello, Mrs. McDonald?
Now, who in the world stopped breaking in, Molly?
Oh, Mrs. McDonald, I'm awfully sorry. This is June Cameron, Ranger Scott's niece. I've just got to talk to you.
Why, hello, dearie. Now, Molly, you just hang on whilst I talk to June. What is it, child?
I'm trying to locate Uncle Bill. I need your help.
There, there. Now, what's the trouble?
A big pine tree has crashed down on our recreation hole here at Pine Lake Camp.
There, there. Anybody get hurt?
No, but the wires from the power plant are down, too, and we won't have any lights, and, well, Uncle Bill will know what to do.
Did you try the ranger station?
It's no use. The ranger is out in the forest. I know he'll be in touch with Hawk Tower by radio, but our line from the camp to the tower must be down. I tried to get Joe there and...
Hello? Hello, June? Oh, dear, now her line is out, too. Molly, I'll just have to call you later. Dear me, what is that Hawk Tower ring? Oh, here it is. Two shorts and one long. Now, if I can only get that boy...
As Mrs. McDonald tries to contact Hawk Tower, Ranger Bill and his young assistant Sam, their day's work accomplished, make their weary way along a distant forest trail.
Well, there's a truck, Ranger Bill. Boy, am I glad to see it, too.
You're tired, eh, Sam? Well, marking timber all day isn't exactly child's play.
But we sure kept ahead of the loggers, didn't we, Ranger?
Yes, Sam. The trees we marked will keep them pretty busy for a while. Oh, seems that wind's building up.
Gee, just look at those black clouds in the west. Somebody's going to get wet.
I don't like the way things are looking over there. Sam, you load the marking axe and other equipment while I try to raise Joe at Hawk Tower on our portable radio.
Yes, sir.
SP-7 to Hawk Tower. SP-7 to Hawk Tower. Come in, Hawk Tower.
Holy smoke, Ranger Bill. Look what I found here by the road. An Indian arrowhead, look.
Oh, say, that is a beauty, Sam. SP-7 to Hawk Tower.
Gee, my first Indian arrowhead. How did it get here, Ranger Bill?
Well, there were Indians all through this country 200 to 300 years ago. This little spot here might have been one of their overnight camps. Hello, Hawk Tower. Hello, Hawk Tower. I wonder if Joe's getting us.
Gosh, an Indian arrowhead more than 200 years old. That's hard to believe.
Hawk Tower to SP-7. Hawk Tower to SP-7. Hello, Ranger Bill. I can hardly hear you, but listen. They're in trouble at Pine Lake Camp and need your help. Can you hear me? Come in.
SP-7 back to Hawk Tower. You're coming in clear here, Joe. Go ahead.
Hawk Tower back to SP-7. It's the wind, Ranger Bill. It blew down a big tree, knocked out the power line and our own phone line between the camp and the tower. Mrs. McDonald called me. Come in.
Hello, Joe. Now listen carefully. Sam and I will head for Pine Lake Camp. You come down off the tower. Now follow the phone line from Hawk Tower down to the camp. Fix the broken line if you can, and then join us at camp for further orders. Did you get that, Joe?
Okay, Ranger Bill. I'll meet you at camp. Hawk Tower off.
SP-7 off. Okay, Sam. Put that Indian arrowhead away and let's get going. It'll be dark before we get to camp.
Here's the camp, Ranger Bill. Golly, it's pitch black. No light showing anywhere in this rain. Wow, what a night. Say, where is everybody?
Well, the youngsters must all be in their cabins. Now, I'll just turn the truck so our headlights are on the recreation hall. Ah, there we are. Well, there's the big tree that blew down on the recreation hall. Well, no real harm done, I'd say.
Say, here comes somebody. She doesn't look like June, though.
Oh, it's not June. Well, hello there, young lady.
Are you Ranger Bill?
That's right, miss. This is Sam Freeman.
June is busy with the campers. Some of them are pretty frightened, and... Well, I'm Penny Perkins.
How do you do?
I'm a counselor, too, and June and I are good friends. Well, I've been kind of frightened, too.
Oh, come on now. We'll fix the power line in a jiffy. Soon as the lights come on, everything will be all right. You'll see.
I was in the recreation hall when the tree fell on it, and... Oh, it was terrible. Well, here's June now.
Hello, Uncle Bill.
Hello, June.
Sam.
Oh, hi, June.
Oh, I'm awfully glad you're here, Uncle Bill.
Well, we came as soon as we got your message, June. You've had a pretty rough time, haven't you?
Oh, it hasn't been any fun, I can tell you. The camp director's away, and I've been in charge. And... Oh, Uncle Bill, everything went wrong. The wind and the light.
Oh, now, June, it's not your fault. Please
hey,
don't...
Hey, cut it out, both of you. And there's no sense of us all standing out here in the rain. Look, June... You go along and take care of your campers. And Penny, suppose you get the fire going in the recreation hall and make some nice hot cocoa. We'll all be needing it in a little while.
Oh, but that big old tree lying up there on the roof, won't it crash through?
Now, there's nothing to worry about, Penny. We'll get the tree off the roof. Now, go on, get going, both of you.
Oh,
we'll see you later.
So long. Gee, I wonder how Joe is making out, Ranger Bill. It's going to be plenty tough following that phone line through the woods in the dark.
Well, Joe has his flashlight along. He'll be all right. Well, now, we've been standing around palavering long enough. Let's go to work, boy.
Okay, Ranger.
Well, I got here in time for the refreshments anyway.
You made good time fixing that phone line, Joe.
Oh, it wasn't a tough job, Ranger Bill. All I had to do was connect the two ends of the phone line where it broke, just the way you taught Sam and me.
Fine.
Well, this is a happy ending to a not-too-perfect day, I'd say.
What I want to know, Ranger Bill, is just why that big tree blew over. Smaller trees around camp took the force of the wind all right.
Yes, Ranger Bill, what about that?
Well... I think you'll all be surprised to learn that that big pine tree was doomed to die a long time ago.
Then it wasn't just the wind alone, Uncle Bill?
No, June. The wind was just the final step in the downfall of a fine old tree. Well, now, here's the story as I see it. There was a pretty bad forest fire years ago before this camp was even built. Now, the fire killed a lot of small trees outright. Some of the big timber, like the pine tree, was wounded or scarred at the base. The fire left its mark, and into the wound, probably blown in by a gentle wind, came little specks of disease. And they went to work on the stout heart of the tree and gradually destroyed the heartwood. And the heartwood gives the tree its strength.
Oh, I see. It's kind of like disease in human beings, isn't it?
Exactly, Sam. But that kind of disease, although it is an enemy of the forest, doesn't compare with the other disease and insect enemies which give us real concern.
You mean more trees are going to fall on our recreation hall, Ranger Bill?
No, I don't mean right here, Penny. But I've seen some forest areas that looked as though a terrible fire had swept through and killed all the trees. And yet bark beetles, one of the worst forest pests, had done the damage. Oh, fire is a destructive agency, but actually... Insects and diseases cause more damage to our forests than fire.
Well, that's hard to believe, Uncle Bill.
That's true, though, June.
Ranger Bill, I've been looking at this Indian arrowhead I found, and it set me thinking.
Oh, let me see it, Sam.
Oh,
how pretty.
Just what were you thinking, Sam?
Well, back in the days when the Indians lived around here,
yes.
Weren't there insects and forest diseases here then?
Oh, that's a mighty good question.
Here, Uncle Bill, let me fill your cup again.
Oh, thanks, June. Yeah, this cocoa Penny made is really tops. Oh, get back to your question, Sam. When the Indians roamed these woods, there were insect pests and some pretty bad disease epidemics, too. But the Indians were few in number compared to the present population in this country. With the white man came destructive cutting of the forest. More and more forest fires. Greater and greater use of the land. Now, the whole natural setup is different today. The white man, frankly, is responsible for that.
But people have to eat, Uncle Bill, and we do need wood for homes and a great many other things.
Well, of course we do, Joan. But one of the prices we have to pay is the constant fight against insect pests and disease. And there's even more to this story. Now, since Indian days, some very bad insects and diseases have been brought into the United States. And they've raised real problems, I can tell you.
You mean someone actually brought them in? Or who would do anything like that?
Oh, it wasn't intentional, Penny. I'm thinking of chestnut blight, for example. Now, it came from Asia before our present plant quarantine laws came into being. And it's just about wiped out all of this country's wonderful chestnut trees. And then there's the gypsy moth from France. And it's now killing forest and shade trees over a large area. Oh, I could name a lot more that are a real headache to foresters throughout the country.
But can't something be done about them, Uncle Bill?
Yes, June. A great deal of the damage can be prevented. First, we try to kill the insects and rid the forest of disease by direct attack on them, felling and burning the infected trees, or through the use of chemical sprays. But the best and least expensive way is just to take good care of the forest, to keep the trees healthy and strong, so they'll be able to withstand the attacks of their insect and disease enemies. Well, here in Beaver Dam Forest, we're trying to keep the natural balance through proper cutting practices and other good forest management. I guess I've been talking long enough now, and it is getting late. We'd better be rolling along, ladies. I don't think you'll have any more trouble tonight.
Oh, don't go out.
Oh, gee, it's been nice here before the fire.
Oh, can't we have a little song before you leave, Uncle Bill? You said yourself that a campfire isn't really a campfire unless there's music.
Well, so I did, Joan, but it is late.
Wait a minute, Ranger Bill. All right, Sam, here's your chance. Get out that harmonica of yours and give us a treat. You've been practicing all winter. Now give.
Oh, yes, Sam, will you play?
Well, okay. Ranger Bill, didn't you say something about rolling along?
Well, yes.
How about a little salute to the young ladies?
Oh, wonderful.
Good night, ladies.
Good night, Uncle Bill. Good night, Ranger Bill. Night, Joe. Night, Joe.
All's well that ends well. And so we'll leave Ranger Bill and his young friends until next time. Be sure to join them when they set out to help that nice old lady, Mrs. McDonald. They're going to run into plenty of trouble because of a very stubborn man. The story, Old McDonald Had Some Woods. Bill Scott, Forest Ranger, comes to you with the cooperation of the Forest Service, U.S. Department of Agriculture. Bill Scott is written by Bill Berghoffen and produced for radio by Van Rensselaer Brokaw. Your narrator has been Al Riley.